We all dream of seeing the world, but the realities of living somewhere outside your place of birth can be daunting, to say the least. Welcome to the Expat Money Show, helping you make the most out of your overseas career through conversations with successful expats on investing, entrepreneurship, self-improvement, and continual education, all while sharpening your financial acumen. Now please welcome your host, with over 20 years of overseas experience, Mikkel Thorup.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. My name is Mikkel Thorup. This is the Expat Money Show, and today's guest is an Emmy Award-winning producer, best-selling author, and marketing expert who works with the likes of Brian Tracy, Michael Gerber, and Coca-Cola, and is host on the show Ambitious Adventures. Please welcome to the show Greg Rillette. Greg, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, man. I'm excited to be here.
We're excited to have you. Hey, Greg, why don't you take a couple of minutes and talk us through your backstory a little bit and how you got to where you are right now?
Yeah, I'll try to make it as condensed as possible. But at 16 years old in high school, they let me out of school. I don't know why they did, but they let me out of school every day at lunchtime to work on a senior project. And I started a record label because I wanted to be like Master P from No Limit Records, like the white guy from the Burbs wants to be like, you know, a gangster from New Orleans. But wanted to start a record label and put out my first record senior year of high school, and then spent the next 10 years recording albums, touring the country, doing all kinds of fun stuff as a white rapper in a rock band, kind of like Linkin Park or 311. Got out of that and started teaching musicians how to do what we did, how to tour, how to make money, how to create merchandise, how to create a living as a musician, selling digital products online to do so. Quick fast forward to a few years later, I met my now business partner, Nick Nanton, and he said, hey, all that stuff you do for musicians, wouldn't it be great if you did that for people that had money? And it was like a novel idea, right? Because a lot of people, they get into a niche and they do great, but you know, musicians don't have, you know, $1,000 to buy a course or $2,000 to buy a course or $100 a month for a membership site. I mean, our best-selling course was a $47 online course. So he wanted me to level up, did, and that was 8 years ago. And now we have an incredible agency with a celebrity branding agency. And 3 years ago, we started Ambitious.com, which is a TV network for small business owners. We really say that we give a voice to small business and help them to, you know, create videos, to create online TV shows, and get them distribution into incredible places. So really, what we like to consider ourselves is, you know, one of the world's largest personal branding agencies, where we brand people the same way that a traditional marketing or branding agency would brand a company. We have, you know, more than 3,000 clients in 38 countries around the world. And like you said, I've been able to work with incredible people like Brian Tracy and Michael Gerber and Jack Canfield and Peter Diamandis and Richard Branson. And just I can name drop forever. That's not what's cool. The cool thing is the 3,000 people that we get to help through our agency. So that was the fastest introduction I think I've given for what we do and how we got here.
Well, I have seen you speak live. I did watch you do presentations, and I know that you do speak about a mile a minute. So actually, it's good because I often speak quite quickly as well.
Nice. I love it.
So with his Ambitious Adventures and with Ambitious Life, you usually use video as a medium. That's kind of your favorite and what you're most known for, yeah?
Definitely, man. And I've been doing video for about 11 years now. And the reason why I use video is because I think it's the best medium to get people to know me, to like me, and trust me, because they're seeing me. So I'm talking about, when I talk about the context of video, I'm talking about you, your face on camera. So not, you know, the hiding behind a PowerPoint slide or the animated videos. There's a time and a place for that. But if you want to create a real connection with an audience, I don't think there's anything better than you talking to a video camera about the things you know and the ways that you can help people. And, you know, I started doing that 11 years ago when I started teaching musicians how to do this stuff. And it was such a great connection because people saw me. They saw me on video. They saw that I was genuine. They saw that I cared. And then also that I knew my stuff. Because when it's you, you know, presenting and teaching and giving your insights and information, you can't hide behind anything. So I would always just have a whiteboard and I teach three cool things that musicians need to know to do this. And over the course of 11 years, we've gotten better, right? So, you know, better cameras and gotten more comfortable on camera. And, you know, I know lighting situations, I know the sound, and I know how to put together a great video. And now, as you mentioned, two of our shows, Ambitious Adventures is a full-fledged reality TV show that was picked up by Entrepreneur, the Entrepreneur Network, Entrepreneur Magazine, and just recently, in the last week, as we're recording this, got picked up by Amazon. So it's now available on Amazon Prime for all their millions of people all over the world to see that. So the whole first season is up there now.
Well, congratulations. That's super exciting.
Dude, it's super exciting. Yeah, it's been huge because that's like big-time distribution. And it was a self-funded show. We used Kickstarter to raise the initial funds and then privately raise the rest. And then I came out of my pocket to finish that. On that show, we've had everyone from Lewis Howes to Jack Canfield to Jake Paul to Joel Kahn to Caleb Maddox to Kevin Harrington from Shark Tank. Just amazing people who supported the project and were a part of it. And then The Ambitious Life is my weekly show that I do. We shoot it here in our studios in Orlando, Florida. And we just posted episode 98 yesterday. So we've been doing it for 98 straight weeks. And it is by far the number one way that people see me for the first time. Then they start binge watching. Then they end up joining the email list. And then they end up becoming customers and clients. And it's just that connection. I had a call yesterday with somebody, never talked to them before. I had no idea that they existed. But they said that they had been watching like 40 or 50 episodes of that show. And the time was right. They reached out, they connected, and now they're becoming a client. So it's just such a cool medium and way to connect with people because you have a one-to-many type of broadcast. I shoot one video. And hundreds of people can see it or millions of people can see it. But I only had to shoot that video once. Kind of like what you're doing here with this podcast. Like you and I, we're going to record this now. We'll spend an hour or so together. And, you know, who knows? Maybe, you know, hundreds of people or thousands of people or millions of people will hear it because you created a piece of media and you're using and leveraging distribution. So long-winded way of saying, yeah, man, video, audio, podcast, media, all of this stuff is a great way to get people to buy into who you are, what you do, and how you can help them.
There's so many incredible points that you've just made, and I'd love to break down a couple of them. First of all, I will say that video is just so monstrously popular. Like, it is just a beast, especially with the way that Facebook is going and them developing so heavy and with the Facebook Lives. And it's interesting because I've had other podcasters on the show, and I've had people who do live seminars, one-to-many groups and things like that. But I've never had a true blue expert on the form of video, on the medium of video. This is one of the reasons that I'm so excited to have you on here. Because I think that each of these different platforms, each of these different mediums, they all have their own way of working, their own advantages, their own disadvantages, their own things that you really need to understand to master that kind of stuff.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, everybody, at least like in the online marketing community, loves to say like the death of insert whatever they want to insert the death of, right? The death of SEO, the death of Facebook, the death of pay-per-click, the death of seminars, you know? And the truth of the matter is, and where we met was actually at a Dan Kennedy seminar, his super conference. And he says that there's no such thing as old media versus new media, dead media versus, you know, brand new media. There's either effective media or non-effective media. And my take on that is that everything works. It just might not work for you. So if you are shy, if the camera scares the living daylights out of you, like every time you get up on camera, you freeze. Well, you know, don't start a video show. Maybe start a podcast. Do you love talking to people and interviewing them? Like that's a great media. It works. And it works just as well as video. It just depends on the person and the platform. If you don't like the sound of your own voice, then don't start a podcast. If you're a great writer, write. I love to say that like blogging's not dead. Like crappy blogs are dead. Right? For people that can't write and they like outsourced it to some dude in the Philippines for $3, they wrote an article. Well, that's a crappy article because there's no insight. There's no personality. It's just some dude who, you know, wrote three tips to getting whiter teeth. Like who cares? There's no insight into that. That's commodity driven media. So whatever you are going to do as you're listening to this, you know, I believe that video is the best, but if video scares you, don't do video, do a podcast. If you don't want to do a podcast and you want to do video, great, do video. If you love writing, great, write. Just find some form of media that you can use to create that one-to-many situation where you can record something, write something, film something once, and you can use all these amazing distribution platforms and get your content out to the world. So it's not about video being better than audio or being better than the written word or mail being better than email or it's just about what is going to work for you. What are you going to commit to? What are you going to consistently put out there? I mean, I see it all the time, and I'm sure you have too, is, you know, these people, they start podcasts and they see like a guy like John Lee Dumas, Entrepreneurs on Fire. He does 7 days a week and he's been doing it for 5-6 years. You know, and then someone else will be like,
yeah, he's got 1900 episodes or something.
Oh, it's ridiculous, right? And so someone will be like, all right, I want to do what John does. I'm going to do 7 days a week. And they get 4 days in and they're like, oh, this sucks. You know, like, man, this is hard.
Yeah, exactly. I haven't sold anything yet. It's like,
well, yeah, exactly. I haven't made $1 million. I've done 4 episodes. So what can you commit to consistently? I would much rather, if you can commit to one amazing episode a month, that's better than you trying to do it daily and stopping and quitting after 4 days. If you can get to once a week, even better. If you can get to multiple times a week, better. But what can you consistently commit to? Again, whether it's video, whether it's audio, whether it's written word, to be consistent. Because a guy like John, like how you said, he's like 1900, or I think he just hit 2000 episodes. Like He got there by being consistent. You know, you're up to, I don't know, 30, 40, 50 episodes of your show. And it's because you found a schedule that has worked for you. You didn't overcommit, but you didn't undercommit. You push yourself. And now you have a body of work. Like, someone hears this episode and they're like, wow, that Greg interview was great. Let me see what else is on. And they binge watch 30 more episodes. Dude, they just spent 30 hours of their life listening to you. How powerful is that? Do you think that they're going to go, you know, hire anyone else or think of anyone else as the expert? Not really. Like, you're their guy at that point.
Absolutely. It's so funny when I look through the numbers for this show, and I love my audience. I love my listeners. I have the best listeners in the world. And sometimes I'll see downloads from some random country, and I won't put out any names because maybe that listener is hearing this, but from some small island nation, you know, in the Caribbean or some random little country in the middle of Africa, and there'll be like 20 episodes or 50 episodes downloaded from there. And I'm like, that's like one or two or three people who have binge listened to every piece of my episode. So a massive shout out to you guys who are coming from the smaller nations, but are still enjoying this content and getting value from this, because that's what makes it so worthwhile.
So worthwhile. And one more piece, and I'll stop my rant on this, is that, you know, people can't binge watch you if you only have one episode, right? So if you've only ever shot one video and it's on your homepage, no one knows that you exist. It's not there, right? So, you know, that one video, sure, that was great, got you over the hump, you did something, but, you know, A, if it's just on your homepage, no one knows it's there, right? We live in a Facebook, a YouTube, an Instagram, a Twitter, a social media first world, that when someone pulls their phone out of their pocket, I don't care if they're in the US, if they're in, you know, some third world country, they're pulling out their phone and they're not going to open up Google Chrome and they're not typing in your homepage, right? They're taking their phone out of their pocket and they're opening up their, you know, social media poison of choice, right? Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn. And so you need to constantly be showing up where people are giving their attention, right? And it's, again, it's different for everybody. But if your market, you know, 30-year-old moms, do you know where 30-year-old moms are? They're on Facebook. So you need to show up in on their newsfeed, and you need to do it regularly. Because again, you shot one video. Well, guess what? In 24 hours, that thing isn't showing up on a newsfeed anymore. So you need to consistently come back. And then, you know, what you said happens. They binge watch. They binge listen. Because if you strike them at the right time with the right message, because you're solving their problem or you piqued their interest or whatever it is, you've got them and you've won. So one is not the answer. Doing something once, not the answer. Consistently putting out great stuff and whatever medium, you know, makes you happy.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. When I watched your presentation live, one of the big things that you talked about was taking this video or this piece of media and then distributing it to many different sources. You had some really interesting ideas on how to do that. Can you break down some of those for us?
Yeah. So I think one of the reasons I love video is because you can do so much with a video. So I shoot The Ambitious Life. I put it out every Wednesday. New episode just went out yesterday. And it's a 5 to 6 minute episode. It's a video episode. Well, from that video, I can go and I can post it on YouTube. I can post it on Facebook. I can make it a square with captions on Facebook. I can have my editor edit a 1 minute version of that video and put it on Instagram and then have a link in my bio to go watch the full episode on YouTube. I can also post that onto LinkedIn. And if it's under 2 minutes and 20 seconds, I can post it on Twitter as well. So that was one video in all of those different places. Then you can pull out, you know, a good quote or two that you said in that episode. And then I use this amazing service called Design Pickle. It's like $300, $400 a month. And I give them that quote and I take a screenshot from the episode and they make one of those cool like quote cards, meme cards, things that you see on Facebook and Twitter or on Instagram. And so now I take that same episode and now I have those quote cards. The big mistake I see on people's quote cards is they use a Brian Tracy quote or a Zig Ziglar quote or a Tony Robbins quote. And I love all those guys. They're awesome. But you just built Tony Robbins' brand. We're trying to build your brand. So it should be your quotes. So on social media, I go and I share my quotes. So again, taken from the same episode. You can then strip the audio from that and you can throw it on iTunes as a podcast or a supplement to your podcast. So maybe you do, you know, an hour-long interview like we're doing right now. That goes out every Monday, but then every Wednesday you put out a 5 or 6 minute quick episode that is, you know, from the video show. Then you can get the thing transcribed and you can edit that transcription. You could use something like Rev.com rev.com, and it's a dollar a minute. So that 5-minute video, for $5, you get it transcribed and you edit it, and now you can put it up as a blog post. You can now guest blog. So you can go to, you know, the Huffington Post and write a guest post, or find some blogs in your niche that accept guest posts. And now that is there. And then in the byline, you say, hey, this article is actually an adaptation from The Ambitious Life, Greg's award-winning video show. You click here to watch all the episodes. And so now you're getting that article out onto other places. So again, and that was from one episode. I don't know, I might have missed some things there, but I think you get the point that from one video, I'm now in, you know, 10, 15, 20 different places. I outsourced a lot of the doing of that. And it just puts you into all the places that your market is looking for content. And again, you do that every week, you know, after a month, you've just put stuff in like 100 different places. You know, after 2 months, after 3 months, you know, after 52 weeks, you've got 52 videos on YouTube, 52 videos on Facebook, 52 videos on LinkedIn, 52 videos on Twitter. I think you get the point is that, oh my goodness, now you are everywhere, you know, and people see you as this big media company, and you are the one that's helping them, you know, get closer to achieving their goals, getting rid of their problems, whatever it is.
Yeah, absolutely. It's that omnipresence that we always hear about. And this is exactly how you do it. And, you know, it's just being creative with the content, always trying to repurpose it in new manners. Because don't let that content go to waste. Like, if you are a content creator, that stuff is gold. It takes a lot of work and a lot of effort. You know, don't use it once and then let it disappear. Like you said, get it in 20 different places, as many as you can.
Yeah, with the internet, there's no exclusivity, right? So just because you posted a video on YouTube doesn't mean you can't post it somewhere else. I think one of the biggest mistakes we all make is, look, so even me, like my YouTube videos don't get very many views, right? Like some of my videos have like 30 views or 50 views or, you know, 300 views, whatever the number is, right? So I'm not a YouTube viral guy. And if I had stopped there, if I just posted it on YouTube and I got my 30 views, like, well, that sucks. I just spent all that time like shooting this video and doing nice design and, you know, laying it out and editing it and posting it and thinking of a great title and creating a thumbnail, and I got 30 views, right? Well, that sucks, you know? So it's all the other stuff to me that make it worthwhile. So I take that same video, and again, I post it on all the other networks. I have an amazing partnership with Entrepreneur, entrepreneur.com. So they share all of my episodes. So while I might only get 30 views on YouTube, I might get 30,000 on entrepreneur.com. And then Entrepreneur posts it to their Facebook page and their, you know, Instagram account and their Twitter feed that gets another 10, 20, 30,000 views. Then I transcribe it and I put that article up on like the Financial Planning Association runs a blog that puts my articles on there. So now it gets another 10,000 views of the article, which then pushes people to watch the video. So most people stop at, all right, you know, I posted my video on YouTube, woo, good job, when all the good stuff happens in what I just said, in taking that content and pushing it out, in marketing that content, in finding distribution and alternative distribution for your content. So it doesn't matter what niche you're in. Like if you're in like the bird watching niche, guess what? There is an amazing bird watching blog or association or media site or news site that would love your videos, because guess what? They can't afford to pay a full-time videographer and a full-time editor and a video person. So they'll just take your content. You won't get paid for it, but you give it to them for free. And guess what? They're going to give you distribution. And now you just got your stuff into more eyeballs. So look for the places, the influencers, the media sites, the news sites, the associations, the players in your community that would want content that they don't have to pay for, but they get the benefit of using for their community. That's exactly what I did with Entrepreneur. Love those guys. Great at doing magazines, but they don't, again, have, you know, room in their budget to hire talent and an editor and a producer and, you know, people to film these videos. So they work with guys like me to take stuff that I've already paid for, I've already produced, I've already shot, and then they distribute it to their network. So they get content that they didn't have to pay for. I get distribution that I wouldn't have on the other side. So huge lesson for you guys is finding other people's platforms to put your content on. And again, it's not an exclusive thing. Because it's on Entrepreneur doesn't mean I can't also put it on my site and I can't also put it on my YouTube. So a lot of things to pull out of that and do and execute on a video strategy.
So do you have any tips or tricks or advice for people who might want to follow a strategy like that? Like, how did you build relationships with Entrepreneur? How do you build relationships with these types of distribution channels like you just mentioned?
Yeah, so don't think that it's more difficult than it is. I go to their website and I click on the contact form and I write an email to them. You know, like I don't have magical contacts. I literally just fire off emails and I say, hey, I've got this great show. Here's two sample episodes. Is this something that you guys, you know, would like to do? I see that you guys need some video for your site. I think that these would be a great compliment. Let me know what you think, or let me know if we can set up a call, or, you know, whatever the case is, you know, and people say no, or they ignore you. But then the one person that says yes, you know, that's huge. And then that's how my relationship with the Financial Planning Association started. I literally went to the Financial Planning Association website, clicked on contact. I saw they had a blog. I saw that they had guest writers for their blog. And I said, hey, I know you guys do guest posts. Have you guys ever thought about having videos from other experts? And ultimately they said no, that they don't have videos, but did we have any articles we wanted to submit? So I said, sure. I just sent them the transcripts to the videos. So they said no to the videos, but I had a backup plan in the articles. So don't think that you need magical connections. Don't think that you need the perfect email. Like, just go and do, right? It's just go make a list. So I'm actually coaching a group of folks on how to do this right now. And, you know, the homework that I made them do was get out a Google Excel document or Google spreadsheet, whatever it's called, and find 20 media sources in your industry and write down the name of the site. Who is the contact person? What is the contact email? What is the phone number? You know, what kind of content do they already have on their site? And then write a column, you know, reached out to this person, yes or no. Do they respond? Yes or no? And that's all you need to do. You know, don't think that you need a super connection. You don't. You just need to have the balls to do some outreach.
Yeah. And I think that goes back to like the publicist. The publicists want you to think that you need to hire their services and it's a $5,000 a month retainer. And for that, they're going to get you on different media channels and stuff. Seems like you can actually do a lot of this yourself, but it just takes a little bit of hard work, maybe a little bit of sweat, and you'll get it done.
Dude, it's not even hard work and sweat. Like, go to the Financial Planning Association, hit contact, and spend 2 minutes writing an email. You know, like, I don't mean to like be mean or aggressive, but like, I think we put these barriers up in our head that this stuff is really harder than it looks. Yeah, you've got to put in some time. Yeah, you've got to put in some effort. But like, dude, we talk and type for a living. Like, I'm not telling you to go out to the construction site and build bricks for 8 hours. I'm saying send a freaking email, you know? What's worst case scenario is they say, you know what? Nah, we're not interested. And then you get your feelings hurt, you drink a beer, and then you do another one, right? Send another email out. So we try to make it harder than we can. The guy selling the $2,000 course on how to do what I just said is trying to make it harder, you know, than it really is. And sure, like, are there shortcuts? If you had an introduction, would that be faster? Of course. So then use it. If you have an advantage, like, use it by all means. But don't think that you need one. That's just an excuse.
But that's it. It's taking action. You know, don't try to get everything perfect. Just get out there and do it, eh?
Without a doubt.
So listen, I want to talk to you. We're talking about things going out to multiple different social media sites. Now, do you do all of that manually? Do you have your team members do things like that? Do you know any technologies or programs, things that make your life easier to try to share that content and get that omnipresence?
That is an amazing question and one that I should have a great answer for, but I personally do everything myself when it comes to the posting, when it comes to, essentially what I do is I do have people that help me with like editing the videos because I don't know how to do that. Like I said, Design Pickle does the designs for me for like the quote cards. I do have some people that help me with some of that stuff and essentially it all gets thrown into a Dropbox folder. And in that Dropbox folder, I have it by, you know, different types of videos. So I have like my core episodes. I have what I call snackable videos, which are like the minute long meme videos you see on Facebook and Instagram. I have my podcast in there. I have my quote cards in there. And so then I just go every morning, I go into that Dropbox folder and I find the video that I want to post that day, I download it and upload it to Facebook. I find the quote card and I put it up on Instagram and Facebook, you know, and schedule those things out. But I do it all myself. I'm sure that I'm doing it in the worst way possible, but I also believe that, you know, if this is your brand, if this is something that you care about and you're not willing to spend the 5-10 minutes in the morning like doing that, you know, and you think that, you know, some kid that you're going to pay $200 a month is going to care more about your brand than you are, like you're out of your mind. Now, are there some great social media agencies? I'm sure there are. Are there some great tools? Like, I know there's like Meet Edgar and there's Hootsuite and there's things like that. But, you know, for me, I kind of enjoy it, man. It's 10 minutes. I start my day like on a high note. I'm like, oh, this is a good video. I'm excited to post it. And then I go and I share it. And again, could there be a more automated way to do it? Sure. If there's somebody who's listening and you do this kind of stuff and you want to help me out, like hit me up, man. I'm all ears. I actually had an email from somebody today saying, hey, man, you run a big business. You're always, you know, I spend most of my days. So 3 days a week, I'm usually shooting TV shows for clients and they're full days, 8 to 10 hour days. I don't have like a whole bunch bunch of free time, but yet I still respond to every comment. I reply to every tweet. I respond to every email. And they were just like, A, why do you do that? And B, how do you do that? And I'm like, how could I not do it? You know, like, I'm not some superstar. Like, I'm not, you know, a dude from Shark Tank or something that's getting like 10,000 inbound emails. I'm not that cool. But how could you not? Like, you know, if I reply to one person, you know, and it made their day or it helped them out, or it becomes a prospect that then, you know, pays me to do my service, like, how could I not spend those 30 seconds like replying to somebody? That's like the most important thing that I think we can do. And outsourcing that, I think, is just a terrible idea. Now, again, outsource some of the editing, outsource some of the design, outsource some of the things that, yeah, I shouldn't be in like Canva or Photoshop, you know, spending 2 hours designing a quote card. That's a terrible use of my time. But the 8 seconds it took to download it, post it to Instagram, and put a caption up, to me, that's important to me, to my brand, to my voice, to all of that stuff. So, long-winded way of saying, I don't have any fancy technology. I do it all myself.
That's just fine. I was really curious about that, and you made some excellent, excellent points. So, when we're talking about content strategy and you're talking about videos that go out and you record once a week, do you usually just spend that 1 week promoting that episode? Or do you have like a social media calendar where you're more deliberate about things and you think, okay, on the 18th of next month, I'm going to post the video from such and such episode? And like, do you think in advance or is it all kind of spur of the moment?
It's both. So I do have not necessarily a content calendar, but a promotional calendar. So right now I'm in the middle of selling a program we call the Social 30 Video Experience. It's a 2-day event that we hold in our office in Orlando. We do a 1-day mastermind video content workshop. And then the second day I interview everyone and we end up creating 30 videos for them in 30 minutes. It's a really, really cool program. So I'm trying to sell that right now. And so what I do is I think about, all right, well, what are the things that I need them to believe in order to buy this product? So what are the things, you know, what are the things that I need to teach them? What are the things that, you know, what is content and education that I could put out that, you know, A, would get them interested in the service? So when I'm going to shoot my weekly episode, that's what I'm thinking about. So, you know, I have to get them to understand what I call snackable content is. It's a 45-second to 2-minute video that is like Square that you put on Facebook and it's kind of meme style. And if it's 60 seconds or less, you can put it on Instagram. And like, I have to explain that concept. And so I might shoot, and I did, I shot 2 episodes that were just about the concept of snackable content. So one was, you know, 3 ways to create snackable content. And then the other one was explaining the concept of creating a highlight reel for your personal brand. So there's episodes, which are the 5-6 minute, you know, weekly things I put out. And then there's the highlights. It's like LeBron James going and dunking over somebody. You know, it's an 8 to 10 second highlight. You didn't have to watch the whole game. You didn't need to buy season tickets. You didn't need to, you know, do it. You just watched SportsCenter and you saw the top play. Well, we do that for personal brands. So any long-winded way of saying, I went in when I'm promoting that and I'll film those 2 videos. And now I have this promotional content, this educational content that I put out and do everything that we just talked about, put it on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, blah, blah, blah. And then I track all of that. So like on Facebook, I then do retargeting. So anyone that watches 75% of that video, I then hit them with a retargeting ad. Hey, you just watched the video where I explain what snackable videos are all about. Did you know we're having an event here in Orlando, June 27th to 28th? Would you love to come down to it? And so I'm deliberately creating content that helps me to sell the product or service that I want to sell. Now, on a week where I don't really have anything going on or I'm just in the middle of the sales cycle, you know, it might just be like a rant. It might be something that, you know, has got me all excited. But usually it has to do with whatever I'm promoting. So if I'm promoting create your own TV shows, usually my video content is about 3 ways to make better video, 3 ways to do this, 5 steps to, you know, knowing what to say in every episode. And I'm doing that deliberately because if they watch that episode and they like it, they might be interested in doing a full video shoot with me. Secondarily, you asked about repurposing content. So I'm much better at this on Facebook than I am on other platforms, but Facebook in their business manager allows you to go back to all of your old videos and reshare them. It's a brand new post, so it doesn't look like you shared it. It looks like it's a brand new post, but it carries all the views over. So if your video had like 8,000 views, when you use the page posts in Facebook Business Manager, it posts it like it's a brand new post, but it says that you already have 8,000 views. So it's got nice social proof. So again, I'll do it in the same way that I just said, like, all right, this week I'm trying to sell my Social 30 video experience. So let me share all of my videos that are about that and I'll post them this week. So I do have a resharing strategy on that, but it all for me goes back to the marketing calendar. What are we trying to sell in our business that hits our business goals? And let's create educational content that circles around that.
That's amazing. So with that type of content, with say a video that you're resharing, do you try to make those types of videos like really evergreen, or do you do a lot of topical stuff?
Lately, the majority I've been trying to do more evergreen because of the resharing strategy that I just said. In the past, I had done a lot of kind of topical, you know, things like we had a hurricane that hit Florida and I shot a video all about, you know, what I was doing about it because I lost power for 8 days and I was working remotely at my in-laws' house. And, you know, I shot a video about that, about, you know, when things are out of place in your business and stuff. And it made sense because of what was happening in the world. But now I really do try to stick to more evergreen stuff because I get more shelf life out of it. Especially on things like YouTube. Like YouTube videos, like I have videos, you know, from 5 years ago that are still getting views now, you know? And so I want to create things that have a longer lifespan, because if you're going to spend the money, the time, the energy, the resources to create stuff, I don't want it to just live in the here and now. I want to be able to use a video that I shoot today. I want to be able to use it a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now. And I think the only way you can do that is obviously evergreen stuff, that timeless stuff that you're really helping your community with.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. I always try to do evergreen content as well. I want someone to be able to listen to this episode that we're recording today 2 years, 3 years, 4 years down the road and have it as relevant then as it is today as we're recording this.
Yeah, love it.
Now, saying that is a very, very bad segue. I was just about to ask you about kind of your opinion about video on the different sites, because like I mentioned earlier in the episode, Facebook is really investing a lot into their different types of live video streams. And I'm just kind of curious what your thoughts are about things like that.
So I think the best advice, if you're not doing anything, I think pick one platform to start with. Because if you try to be the best Instagram video guy and Facebook video guy and YouTube video guy all at the same time, you're gonna suck, right? Just because you're gonna be spread too thin. So I think pick the platform. The platforms that I like best right now, and it's weird because Facebook, I do think, is like the 800-pound gorilla. My problem with Facebook is that unless you are spending money on ads, there's really no discoverability in Facebook. Where their discoverability to me is either on YouTube for people that are searching. So if you're shooting videos that are search-based or keyword-based, so if you're, you know, in the video marketing space, four cameras that every small business owner should invest in, like that's a good keyword-based video that people might search and find your video. So I think YouTube is great if you have a search-based topic. I think Instagram is really good if you have an audience-based topic, because you can use hashtags. So hashtag, you know, dentist, hashtag dental marketing, hashtag grow a dental practice. And so random people can stumble upon your videos. Facebook is much more guarded because they're not showing your videos to anybody. They're not even showing them to the people who like your page. Nonetheless, new people who don't know who you are. So I think that, you know, if I was starting today, I would look at Instagram or YouTube as my first home for video, because of discoverability, because you need new fans, you need new people, you need more people checking out your stuff. So I would start there. The second point that I'm gonna make is it's different videos for different platforms. So Instagram, you have two video choices, either 15-second vertical videos or 60-second square videos. So don't try and take the same video that you posted on YouTube that's 8 minutes long and is horizontal in like a 16:9 ratio and put it on Instagram. A, they don't allow 8 minute long videos, and B, horizontal videos don't perform well on Instagram. Square videos perform well on Instagram, on the Instagram feed. So you have to know the platforms and know the intricacies. The lazy marketer takes the same video in the same size, same length, same everything, and just posts it across all the different platforms. The better marketers who are getting the most out of the platforms are making 60-second square videos for Instagram. They're making, you know, 90-second square videos for Facebook. They're making 15-second vertical videos for Facebook and Instagram. They're making 16:9 horizontal videos for YouTube. They're making 2 minute and 20-second videos for Twitter that maybe have a cliffhanger, so you got to go to the next thing. So know the platform really well and what's working. And the easiest thing to do, man, is just study, like, who's getting a ton of views on Facebook right now. Like, just go figure that out. What are they doing? Are they posting every day? Are they going live? Are they doing the square video? So you got to pay attention to the platform and what's working on the platform. So that's what I would say about picking the platform and what you would do. Discoverability, I think, is huge, because if the same 18 people are watching your video on Facebook, like, who cares? I need a new 18 people seeing my stuff on a regular basis, because I need what Dan Kennedy calls, it's the lifeblood. It's new customer acquisition. And that, I think the best opportunity for you to do that is not on Facebook, unless, my caveat, is you're going to spend money on ads. If you're going to spend money on ads, Facebook's an amazing platform because they will gladly take your money and show your video to all kinds of people.
Yeah, and the boost, you can take a simple video on Facebook and boost it out to an additional 40,000 people or 30,000 people. And we're talking like $20, $50. Like the reach that you can get on things like that is cheap, cheap, cheap.
Totally. 100%. And so I believe in that. So that's a strategy that I use. Every time we post an episode, I boost it, you know, and it doesn't have to be a bunch, you know, $10 a day, $30 a day, you know, whatever you're comfortable spending. But yeah, but you on Facebook, it is a pay to play marketplace for business owners right now.
We'll just take a quick break. Did you know that I equate a good deal of my success to my reading habits? And it's not just the amount that I read. It's exactly what books I choose to read. And I'm not alone in this. Even Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger call reading the secret to success. That's why I've compiled the best reading list ever for entrepreneurs. This is a detailed list that I painstakingly curated just for you and has books on it that you would never know to read. And you can get a copy of it free at expatmoneyshow.com/100books. That's expatmoneyshow.com/100books. So, speaking about platforms that hold video, you have any opinions about the new ones that are coming out, like Musical.ly, or I think Snapchat is doing different video things. Do you have any other new platforms that are on the rise with video or opinions about these ones?
So, I think that the vertical video is going to be the short form video of the future, meaning that whether it's Snapchat, whether it's Instagram, whether it's Facebook, the vertical video, so like if you're shooting with a smartphone, shooting it like the way you talk on the phone, long ways, is going to be the video that all the platforms prefer. So Snapchat's rolling out another new ad product that's just for vertical. They're rolling out new TV shows that are going to be 4 to 6 minutes long that are going to be vertical. Facebook Watch is very vertical right now. So I think, you know, and this is something that you got to play with because it's a different style of editing. It's a different, you know, camera that you might want to shoot with. We're shooting with our same cameras. So we use Canon C100s to film all of our stuff, and we're turning the cameras sideways. So it's shooting vertical. And I think if you can get ahead of that and start doing that and doing it at a higher production value, meaning you're not just doing a selfie video, but you're actually, you know, using a higher end camera, you're filming it, you're putting, you know, graphics on there, you're putting lower thirds, you're putting music to it. If you can make vertical videos for whatever platform, Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, you know, whatever platform it is, I think that is going to be the next kind of, again, short form. So I'm not talking about, you know, TV or Netflix or things like that, but, you know, on social media, I think that if you can get ahead of the curve and create highly produced vertical videos, that is where I see the market going in the short term.
So trying to bring that professional aspect to a medium where a lot of people might be just doing it from their iPhone or from their Samsung.
Yeah. So we hired Dan Kennedy to write some copy for us 4 years ago or so. And in there, there's just an amazing line. He says, you know, any old monkey can shoot video with his iPhone. And it's true because literally with the iPhone, anyone can hit record and be recording a video for Instagram. My challenge to you listening to this is, do you want to be just any old monkey? Or do you want to be, you know, the guy, the somebody? And to me, that comes from production quality. Like when someone sees your video, are they like, oh, this is just another, you know, kid doing vertical video, you know, doing a selfie video? Or like, oh man, this guy is legit. He's doing some good stuff. So to me, you know, content is always going to be above quality. You know, if you're doing high production value and your content sucks, none of this matters. But I think if you can merge high quality content with high production value, to me, that's the differentiator, because everyone is trying to go cheap and it's a race to the bottom. And to me, that is dumb. That is wrong. Good content's always going to win. You know, the reason why Netflix is kicking everyone's ass right now is because they have really good shows. They're paying the most money to get the best writers, the best producers, the best directors, the best talent. I mean, they have exclusive deals with Will Smith and Adam Sandler and Brad Pitt, and they are paying the money to get higher production than ABC is willing to pay. You know, it's not a race to the bottom. Netflix isn't trying to make crappy shows. They're trying to make the best shows, and that's why they're winning. I see the same thing happening online with everybody racing to the bottom to do Facebook Lives with a selfie video. It's the ones who are doing high-produced shows who, it always happens. Good quality stuff always rises to the top, and the crap just gets siphoned out and becomes noise at the bottom.
So talk to me that for a little bit about that. If someone wants to invest a little bit in video, what are some of the things that they should focus on? What are some of the things that they should spend their money on? And what are the things that they should be putting off till later?
Yeah, so contrary to what a lot of people say, like, I don't think the iPhone is the best camera in the world. I think it's not the best media creation device. I think it's the best media consumption device, meaning it's where your customer or your prospect is going to watch your content. But I don't think that you should be creating your sales videos, your weekly TV shows, all of that with your iPhone. I don't think that it is of the quality that you really wanted. Now, if you're using your iPhone and you've bought like a special lens for it and you've lit your room really nice and you have an external microphone, yeah, maybe, right? And then you're editing it in something like Final Cut, not iMovie on your phone, and you're adding in real, you know, lower thirds, and you're adding in graphics, and you're using templates and using something like Graphic River that can create a really good intro animation for you. I think all of that is really key. I think that, you know, easy things that add production value is graphics. So, you know, a graphics package, lower thirds. Like if you're watching the news and they go to local weatherman, Jim Smith, and like on the bottom of the screen, it says like Jim Smith, meteorologist, right? That's a lower third. So, you know, adding those to your videos. Adding a second camera angle is huge and for a multitude of reasons, but I'll share two of them with you here. A is now there's production value because you're switching angles. And you're keeping people's attention and you're moving their attention every few seconds. So, you know, when you're talking, you know, straight onto a camera, and then it switches to like a side profile shot. Well, now you've just kept people's attention for longer because you're switching the camera angles. The second reason that I like it is because if you screw up, you don't have to start over from the beginning. You could just cut to a new camera angle, and, you know, in the editing process, it makes it so much better. So just adding a second camera to your shoot adds so much added value to your production. So hell, even if you got to go two iPhones, an iPhone and an iPad, like if you got to do it, try it. It will change your world. The next thing I would invest in is lighting and audio. It's got to look good. If there's shadows everywhere, there's shadows over your eyes and they can't see your eyes really good, if there's a shadow halfway across your face, you know, if the background is overexposed or overlit, like all of this, you know, it's just not appealing to the eye. You got to remember, it's visual first. In things like Facebook autoplays your video with no sound. So if your video, they look at it and they're like, well, this video looks like crap, they're not going to click on to turn the sound on, no matter how awesome your video is. So if you can get them from the start that it's visually appealing to them, well, then you got a shot. So lighting, to me, really, really important. It doesn't have to be huge lighting. There's this really cool like circle ring light that it's on Instagram. They have like an ad that pops up to me every 2 seconds. Like that thing's cool. You know, you don't have to spend $1,000 on lighting. Go find like a $100 light. You know, search on Amazon for iPhone lighting kit. Look at things like that. Audio, if they can't hear you and they can see you, well, that sucks. Right? So invest in some kind of a microphone. We use Audio-Technica wireless microphones. They're like $500-$600 a piece. You don't have to go that route. They make a really good wired lavalier microphone for like $50, you know? So, but think about microphones, because if they can't hear you, no point. Adding music into your episodes. So having music, you know, as you're talking, instead of just silent and, or, you know, just a plain background as you're talking, that adds to it. You think about things like movie trailers. Movie trailers are amazing because of the sound. You know, it moves you. It moves you up, you know, and then the disaster's about to come and then the music, you know, everything's, you know, going to its peak and then it cuts out. And then like, boom, the title of the movie comes up. Like you think about how much music and sound influences our emotions. If you're talking about, you know, overcoming suicide and you're telling this story, this story of, you know, someone, you know, who was at the brink of, you know, ending their life and this and that, and you use music that sets that mood and sets that tone. And then I had my conversation with them and I asked them these three questions, and then the way that they looked and the way that they smiled, and then boom, their life was back. They're, you know, think about tone and inflection and using music to ride those things out. So there's a lot of things that you can do to add production quality to your videos without spending a ton of money. But, you know, it is something that, you know, you do those little things, music, lighting, good microphone, second camera angle, your videos are going to look nothing else like what everyone else is doing out there. And again, you don't want to be just a guy. You want to be the guy. So when they see your stuff, they know that they're messing with the real deal, not just some Joe Schmo, or as Dan Kennedy would say, any old monkey with an iPhone.
Love Dan Kennedy. So that's interesting that you mentioned like tempo and pitch and things like that. I imagine that has a lot to do with some of the shorter videos that we were discussing earlier, like that type of cadence. And, you know, if you're doing a video that, like you said, is less than a minute long, it's going to be real so different than if you're shooting a video that's 8 minutes on YouTube.
Without a doubt. And all of that, truthfully, you know, this is kind of a slight not answer to your question, but answer to your question is it comes from practice. Like me now, I'm 98 episodes into like The Ambitious Life, but I've filmed thousands of videos over the last 10, 11 years. I'm obviously way better today than I was 11 years ago. And there is on video and even, you know, audio and even writing, like there is no substitute for putting in the work and what I call like doing reps. Like, you know, your first interview for this show is probably not as good as today's interview. And that's not a knock on you. That's just, you now have 30 episodes where you got to practice. You got to ask questions. You got to figure out what flow you liked. You got to figure out when you wanted to interject, when you didn't want to interject. Episode 98 of my show, way better than episode 1 of my show. Way better than anything I shot 10 years ago. And you start to learn things like cadence and tonality and when to go fast and when to go slow and when to raise your voice and when to drop your voice, because you want to make a really, really subtle point that you want your audience to pay attention to. And then you want to get that energy back up and that excitement. And nothing substitutes that for actually shooting the video. There's no course you can buy. There's no seminar you can attend. There's no podcast you can listen to that is a substitute for you turning on the camera, hitting record, and talking into a video camera. There is just literally no substitute for that. Now, this podcast, hopefully it's getting you motivated. It's getting you excited. You're like, man, I can do this. This Greg guy's cool. I think I can shoot my own video. But then you got to go shoot the dang video. And there is literally no substitute for that. The best example, and I think I shared this when you saw me at GKC, was go back and go to YouTube right now and search for Wine Library episode number 1. This is our good old Gary Vaynerchuk first video he ever put online. And you'll see what I mean. He didn't delete that episode. He leaves it up there, and then he leaves episode 2 and 3, all the way up to 1,000. He did 1,000 episodes daily. That's 3 years of doing a daily show about wine before he pivoted into business. And guess what? Episode 1,000 was much better than episode 1. Episode whatever he is on, like 300 of Daily V, way better than episode 1. So you have to put in the work, and that's where you're going to start to learn tonality and inflection and music and what works and what doesn't work. Because, dude, there's bombs. Like, I put out episodes that sucked. Episode 48, I have no idea, I'm making this up, but episode 48, terrible. Episode 62. But the cool thing is, because of the frequency that I'm putting stuff out, no one even remembers the sucky ones, because I got another one right behind it. And I got another one. Now, if I put out like 86 sucky videos in a row, you know, like that's not good, right? But if you put out one bomb, no one even knows, because you put out something else the next day. And it was good. So don't worry about the one bad thing. Just keep and continuously, constantly, consistently putting out stuff. And you'll be surprised at how good you get, how fast that happens.
I love it. I agree with that 100%. Definitely, there's no exception for not doing it. Like, you really need to put in the work. You need to actually do it. It's not something you can outsource. You're not going to find a VA to do it for you. You're not going to be able to read a book or take a course. Yes, there are books and courses for best practices, but to actually get good at speaking or presenting yourself or, you know, standing in front of the camera and where to look and how to articulate your points, those are things that just come with experience. And using Gary Vaynerchuk as an example is 100% right on. You know, the guy likes to say that it comes down to DNA, but at the end of the day, he has done this thousands, if not tens of thousands of times, you know? So it's like, you're not going to start tomorrow and, you know, you're going to be Gary Vaynerchuk next week. Like, it takes a lot of work, a lot of time, a lot of practice.
Yeah. We all compare people now to where we are now, right? So we're like, Gary V's got what, I don't know, $100, $200 million a year agency now with VaynerMedia. And he's got 22 or 25 people or whatever it is that just work for him on his personal brand. And we're one dude, you know, at a coffee shop, you know, trying to create a freelance business. Like, you can't make that comparable. You know, you have to look at where you are now and be content with where you are now and just get better every day. Like, do one thing every day that's going to make you better than you were yesterday, and you will, dude, I'm telling you, you get so far so fast. It's unbelievable.
So Greg, I'm really curious, like, what are you focused on right now with your business?
Yeah, my focus right now is on helping people like you, helping your audience, helping small business owners to find their voice. I find that so many folks, and we talked about it earlier when we talked about distribution, you know, they can shoot their own videos, they can do, you know, stuff on their own, and they can put it on their YouTube channel, and then they get like their 300 views, or maybe they get 3,000 views, and cool. But how do we really give them a voice? Because I know there's so many people who are doing incredible things, they have great products or services, and they wake up every day and they say, if only I had more eyeballs, if I only had more leads, if I only had more people paying attention to me, I could help more people. And so we really took that to heart. And we started last year transitioningambitious.com from just being about us and being a production company to being a media network for small business owners. And we've learned a lot behind the scenes from guys like Peter Diamandis, the good people at Entrepreneur. Spent a lot of time with Jay Abraham, and you know, a lot of them said, really, for us to raise our business to that kind of next level, it is, well, let's build the network. Like, let's build the CNN of small business owners. Let's build the Entrepreneur magazine of small business owners. And that's what we've been working on for about the past year, is, you know, bringing small business owners, entrepreneurs, professionals, experts, thought leaders into our studios and building them great quality professional content like we've been talking about this whole episode, and then not just giving it to them and saying, you know, hey, here's a bunch of videos for you to go put online, but here is the distribution plan for you. Like, we have, through Ambitious TV, have distribution deals with Apple TV and Roku and Amazon Fire and smart TVs, Android apps, iPhone apps, as well as Facebook and YouTube and the social media platforms. We can, you know, through our editing team and everybody we have in-house, be able to take that one video and splice it for all the different distribution places. So you're not lazy. So you're doing the right things and giving a voice to these small business owners. So that's really been my focus, is A, in educating small business owners about exactly what we talked about here, that you are a media company, that if you want to get people's attention, you need to create constant and consistent content, and video, I think, is the best way to do that. And then we help facilitate that through, you know, producing people's TV shows, producing social content, producing reality shows, whatever the case is. And then the last arm of that is distribution. We want to build this network, and it's already, you know, started, of putting all of these amazing small business owners together who are have the same mission of creating an impact and an income in the world, and putting them on a network that, you know, we want to, you know, in the long term, it's not going to happen tomorrow. I wish that it would. It'd be a much easier sales pitch for me. But, you know, over the long term, building Ambitious TV as a media network that, you know, I mean, we already have, you know, hundreds of episodes, I think like 600 or 700 episodes, from everyone from financial advisors to real estate agents to life coaches to business coaches to, you know, indoor air quality experts for business owners to tax professionals to CPAs to indoor flooring manufacturers that we've done these shows for, that now have a home for their shows. And to me, that's the bigger 10,000 foot view of where we're trying to go, building out this network, but really giving them all the tools necessary to create a great show, to get the high quality content, and have a place to put that content so people will actually see it. And, you know, it's exciting. There's good days, there's bad days, there's just days where, you know, things are amazing. Like I said last week, like Ambitious Adventures got picked up by Amazon Prime. Well, now that opens a door to Amazon for us. Like, if this show goes well, can we get another show on there? We have amazing relationships with developers who have built out all the apps for us, for Apple TV and Roku and things like that. But dude, those are the biggest pains in the butts ever, like figuring out the technology and the APIs. And I am not a technology nerd. You know, I don't even know how to use a social media posting service, as we joked about earlier. So I have no idea. So how to build like these apps, but we've partnered with just incredible people. And then just us dealing with scalability has been, you know, difficult, because I can only shoot one day at a time. So just scheduling and getting people in and the editing process and building that up, it's all been a challenge, but it's all because we have this bigger mission to give a voice to small business. It allows me to power through some of those challenges, to face those challenges head on, and know that we're working for something bigger, you know, than just a year ago, we were just a production company. Like, pay us some money, we'll shoot some videos for you. And I made a nice living off of it. But at the end of the day, that's all I was. I was the transaction person. I want to build something much, much greater than just being a production company. And I think that's where the network comes in. And it's exciting, man. It's fun.
So how did you have that aha moment that made that transition between these two, going from just doing the videos for other people to now wanting to be the production company, the entire media company?
It's a great question. And the first aha moment came, we spent an entire day at the X Prize with Peter Diamandis. It was our mastermind group. We were there, I don't know, this is probably, it was right before I bought ambitious.com. So maybe 4 years ago, 3 years ago. And he was making us go through an exercise about how we could exponentially grow our business. And his exponential is 10X. And everybody online talks about, oh, 10X your business and 10X this. Well, we already have a pretty successful business. And, you know, at the time we had about 2,000 customers. And so 10Xing that would be 20,000 customers. And, you know, we were kind of like, holy crap, like that doesn't sound like the business that we want. To have 20,000 clients, like that means how much more staff do we need and how much this? And then you can't just do 20 times more teleseminars or webinars in order to sell to 20,000 clients. So we started looking at what that next evolution in our business is. And For us, it is controlling the media. And the way to do that is to have your own media network. And with the disruption, again, something that Peter taught us, like TV is being disrupted. You know, how many people, at least in the United States, are cord cutting from cable or cord cutting from DirecTVs of the world and have either skinny bundles through Sling or get all their TV from Hulu, Netflix, and Amazon. And so there's huge disruption happening. And those kind of two things of seeing, well, where do we want our business to be? Because like even like this year, like if I shot every single day this year, which I'm obviously not, I could only shoot 365 shows. That's it. I only got 365 days in the year. And that's saying that I don't have any nights and weekends for the wife and the kids. So the way that we exponentially grow is to allow the shows that we produce to have bigger legs, to have bigger leverage, to be working for us 24/7. And that's where the media network comes in. And so those were kind of the aha moments. And I owe it all to Peter being in his office that day and him challenging us to go through that exercise. Now, obviously, it hasn't happened overnight. When we first bought Ambitious.com, it looked nothing like what we're doing today. It was like a news site for millennials, kind of like a Thrillist meets Greatest. And that was an absolute disaster. Then it was very much like a Creative Live where we were doing info products and trying to build out a course network with creators. And we still do a lot of that, but that still just wasn't scalable. And I also see the death of courses coming very soon, which is another subject for another day. And so it was really going back to media and building the media network. And that's kind of how we got to where we are today.
So you mentioned that the initial idea came from a mastermind. What's your opinion of masterminds? What's your opinion about learning in an environment like that?
If you find the right, so two things, the right leader and the right group that the leader has assembled, there's nothing better. The hard part is finding the right leader and then also the right people. And there's different reasons to be in mastermind groups. And I also think there's a difference between a coaching group and a mastermind group. So a coaching group would be you finding a great leader, someone that has done what you want to do, and you want to learn from the leader how to do what you're going to do. And to me, that's a coaching group because the peers who are also in that group, you probably don't want to learn from the peers because they're all at the level you are. You want to learn from the guru, the expert, the teacher. So to me, that's not a mastermind group. And there's a lot of people selling mastermind groups where it's that. To me, that's not a mastermind group. To me, a mastermind group, so we've been in like Dan Kennedy's Titanium group. Like, A, yes, we wanted to learn from Dan, but everybody else in the room was doing at least $1 million a year in their info business. And I wanted to learn from them because they were all peers and they were all, you know, maybe one level up from us at the same level as us, two levels up from us. And I could really learn from what they were doing. You know, a lot of people pass it off at the mastermind where like you're around a whole bunch of other newbies. And like, I kind of don't want to learn what the newbie guy is doing because he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. So I'm a big believer in the group, but you got to find the right leader and then the right group. If you're trying to learn from peers, well, then you need peers that you actually want to learn from. But if you're in a coaching group where you're trying to learn from the leader, just know what you're getting into. But I'm actually really high on them. Like we're a part of Genius Network with Joe Polish. Like I mentioned, we were a part of Dan Kennedy's Titanium Group. You know, my partner Nick is in Strategic Coach with Dan Sullivan, as well as the XPRIZE Innovation Board with Peter Mandis. I've spoken at mastermind groups all over. Like I'm a big believer in that model. But again, just be very wary of who you're getting into bed with and who you're writing that big check to, and if they can deliver those results that you want from writing that big check. On the flip side, you know, there's a couple local groups that I'm a part of that I don't pay anything for. I go buy coffee, you know, and they're, you know, 10 of the best local people that we just get together and we shoot the breeze and we, you know, we talk about what's working now. And, you know, those are great groups as well. So big believer in it. Just know what you're getting yourself into.
No, that's a great caveat. Absolutely. Because I love mastermind groups. And same as you, I'm a big proponent of Dan Kennedy. So I'm in Dan Kennedy's Platinum group. And just the peers that I've had in that are, wow, I've learned so much from them over the last year. It's just been unbelievable.
That's awesome. Yeah, good group of people. And they assemble a good group, right? Of like-minded people trying to do the same thing. You know, there is an application process. You know, they don't just take anyone who will write them a check. And I think that speaks volumes to, A, the peer group you've been around and also the results that you're going to get from being in the group. So, yeah, man, you're doing it right. I love it.
So, Greg, say that I come down to Orlando. I'm down there for some conferences and we're out at the bar. We're having a couple of drinks. And I lean in, Greg, and I'm like, what's that one secret, Greg? What's that one secret for video, for growing your personal brand, for growing your business? What's that one secret for video that if you told me and I told anyone else in the whole wide world, you'd have to kill me?
No one cares. This is like the biggest thing that I can say. The big secret is that no one cares about one of your hairs being out of place. No one cares if one of your buttons is undone. No one cares if you're leaning one way or leaning the other way. No one cares if you're using your hands the wrong way. No one cares about any of that crap. What they care about is what you're saying in that video relevant to them. The reason why people don't do video is because they think it's about themselves, that I look stupid, that I'm going to say something stupid, that I'm, you know, not, I don't look right. I wanted to lose 10 pounds before I shot this video. The person watching your video doesn't give a crap about any of that. Are you on camera helping an audience? That should be the only thought that matters. If you make that mindset switch that it's not about you, it's about the person watching, you will start doing video tomorrow. You will overcome all your fears of wanting to do video because now the pressure's off you. It's not on you. It's not about you. It's never about you. It's about your audience. Bring value to the person watching on the other side of the camera. Your fear of getting on camera will stop. Your fear of making sure that you look great, making sure that everything's absolutely perfect before you film, all of that goes away because the person watching doesn't give a crap about any of that. If you don't talk about what is interesting to them, stop thinking it's about you because no one cares about you.
Amazing episode, heaps of value, so many things I've got going on in my mind right now. How I can grow my own brand using video, how I can grow my own company using video. And this has been a really incredible episode. Greg, if my listeners, if they want to reach out to you, if they want to get a hold of you, where can we send them?
Yeah, the best social media place for me right now is Instagram. I love connecting with people there, at Greg Rolette, just my name, super simple. You can also head over to ambitious.com where you can learn about some of our events, some of our TV shows, you can see some of our work. And if you got Amazon Prime, go check out Ambitious Adventures. It's free. You can stream the whole first season at absolutely no cost to you. So go check that out. The first episode is probably the one I'd point you to, which is in Hollywood, California with Lewis Howes, Jack Canfield, Jake Paul, Nick Nanton, and Carlo from All the Pizza. Amazing episode on personal branding. So go check that out. It's free if you got the Amazon Prime. So at Greg Rolette on Instagram, ambitious.com, and then go check out Ambitious Adventures on Amazon Prime. That'd be awesome.
Excellent episode. Thank you so much for your time, Greg. We'll talk soon, okay?
Thanks, buddy.
Hey, so earlier on the break, I mentioned to you the 100 books that all entrepreneurs must read. I've curated the list for you, and you can find it at expatmoneyshow.com/100 books. That's expatmoneyshow.com/100 books. Get your copy today. It's completely free, and it can make a world of difference in your business.
This episode may be over, but your journey to greatness continues by visiting our webpage and signing up for our newsletter. For convenient access to new episodes, show notes, and other crucial resources, visit expatmoneyshow.com. We look forward to you joining us on the next episode of the Expat Money Show. Safe travels.